But it is good to be home. Thank you, Beatty, for that kind introduction. If I've not had the chance to meet you, my wife and I, we call Greenville home. We're both graduates of the Harvard of the South, is what we like to say, East Carolina University. I get to travel to a lot of universities, not only in North America, but internationally, and I brag about East Carolina wherever I go. They're like, I've never heard of that. I said, it's your fault. I'm sorry. But we are known all over the world, maybe not for all the right reasons. But anyway, all three of our kids were born here, so it is so good to see you guys. My wife and I are also a missionary that this church generously partners with and has been faithfully for years. And so I wish I had time to give you a ministry update. I do not, but I will brag just a little bit on your campus staff, if I can. Beatty made mention there is an ENC chapter, ENC Every Nation Campus chapter here. We have four full-time campus missionaries. Rich Fontanus, right over there, our campus director. Rich and I meet weekly via Zoom with a group of other guys. We have been for about 7 weeks. We have a meeting this week, don't forget. I will be there via Zoom. We also have Miss Mackenzie Rayfield. I saw Mackenzie earlier. Where's Mackenzie? We also have Miss Sarah Larimore. And then Miss Morgan, who you just sent to Nashville for the School of Campus Ministry. Blake, I did all I could. It was a lot, let me just tell you. For those who don't know, if you're becoming a campus missionary with Every Nation Campus, you go through a training school called the School of Campus Ministry. It's in 8 weeks. It's in Nashville, Tennessee. That's where I'm based out of now, Nashville, Tennessee. And so I run that school. Morgan got to see more of me than she ever wanted to see. But we're still friends. We took a selfie earlier, okay? So anyway, it is so good to see all of your beautiful faces. This morning, I'm excited about this message because it's something that God is dealing with me on. So I feel like this message this morning, I'm preaching to myself. You just happen to be in my living room. Okay, so if God speaks to you through it, congratulations. But this is where the Lord has me currently in my life. And so I'm titling the message this morning, Daily Bread, Daily Dependence. Daily Bread, Daily Dependence. Now, let's take, before we get into the word, let's go down memory lane a little bit. Can we do memory lane? Any of you remember something called COVID? Does anybody ring a bell with anybody? A little bit. COVID, you might recall, we started stockpiling everything. Toilet paper. Of all things, toilet paper was disappearing. I remembered working in our office in Nashville, and they were having to put it under lock and key because people would just come into the office space and try to steal toilet paper. Never in my life did I ever think there would be such a craze. Now, if you're one of the people who still has a stockpile, don't confess right now. Just smile, look straight ahead, don't acknowledge yourself because it might turn bad throughout the sermon. Just be careful. Cleaning supplies disappeared. Man, the Clorox wipes, you could not find Clorox wipes. You could make mad cash if you had Clorox wipes back in that time. You could set your retirement up. All of the store shelves were empty. People were filling the garage, closets, pantries. Any place that was empty in your home, in my home, we were storing stuff, were we not? We were modern-day chipmunks. Okay, but why did we do that? We're going to dive into this because when uncertainty shows up, our natural instinct is self-preservation. I get the privilege to fly, whether it's a privilege or not a privilege, it gets old pretty quick. And they tell you on the airplane, if you've ever flown first, put on your mask first. Most of our life is about us first. Remember the movie Nemo, the great theological movie where the seagulls got stuck? Mine. All of our life, it's me, all about me. But why do we do this? Because we want to make sure we've got enough food. We want to make sure we have enough money. We want to make sure we have enough answers. Ultimately, we want to make sure that we're going to be okay tomorrow. That's what we're after. But if we're really honest with ourselves, self-preservation didn't just start at COVID, and it definitely didn't end after COVID ended. Any of you old enough to remember Y2K? Man, there's probably people still in debt. December the 23rd, 1999, they thought, hey, the computer system is not going to roll over. We're going to swipe the card and we're going to do what we want to do. And they woke up the next morning and guess what? The computer system rolled over and you're in big debt now. But it was a situation like that. Think about today. We have wars that are happening. It's the same reaction with what you and I face today. Economic uncertainty. Gas prices are higher. Are your gas prices higher? We were driving from Tennessee and we're like, man, we'd love to pay that, what they pay in North Carolina and Tennessee. How's North Carolina cheaper than Tennessee? That's not right. Anyway, our gas prices are higher. Our groceries are higher. Your groceries higher? Okay, you were supposed to be responding to me. Well, I think we're on the right thing here, okay? All of a sudden, you and I, when our life happens and things happen, we get unexpected medical bills. And I don't know if anybody's like me. I begin to go down a dark rabbit hole. What about this? What if this happens? Well, what about this? How's God going to provide? How's God going to make it? How's this going to work out? And the reality is human nature has not changed much in our thinking. We've always been thinking about self-preservation, basically from day one. But Jesus knows exactly how you and I think. And he had something to say about it. Now, I'm going to be in two different passages of the Bible today for my note takers. Bear with me. I'm going to give you where we're going. Okay, here comes your roadmap. I'm going to start in Exodus 16. I'm going to end in Matthew 6. I'm going to do an Old Testament, New Testament, and I'm going to give you 4 points. Okay, and it'll all be on the board. So if you've not had a note yet, it's okay. Calm down. It's coming. If you don't like taking notes, hey, just enjoy the ride. We're having fun here, okay? I just want you to understand what's going on. Okay, but in Matthew 6, we're not turning there yet. You get to do homework tonight yourself. But in Matthew 6, before Jesus talks about seeking him, he talks about actually worrying. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? The very things that you and I worry about the most, when we're really honest. And God says something about that. He said, seek first the kingdom. He didn't say seek your security first. He didn't say seek your comfort first. He didn't say, Nick, seek your self-preservation first. He said, seek God first. And there's nowhere that I think we clearly see more of what God is asking us to seek than we'll find in Exodus 16. But before I get there, I want to say this thought to us. What you and I seek first reveals what you trust the most. Think about that. What you and I seek first ultimately reveals what we trust the most. Let's look in Exodus 16. Let's see what the Bible has to say about self-preservation. We're reading four verses. We're reading verses 4 and 5. Then we're skipping to verses 19 through 20. You can read Exodus 16 in its entirety this afternoon at home. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. Then skipping down, and Moses said to them, speaking to the Israelites, let no one leave any of it over till morning. But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning. I love the Bible. It bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Okay? I just love the Bible. But notice what God is doing here. He's feeding them, yes? But he's doing more than feeding them. He's teaching them to trust him. He's doing more than feeding. He's ultimately teaching the trust. So here's point number one, note takers. God uses daily dependence to build faith. If you're familiar with Exodus 16, after God delivered Israel from Egypt, they went into the wilderness. Very quickly, they become hungry. They became angry. They started doubting. My kids let me know when I get hangry. Anybody else get hangry in here that's hungry and angry together? I usually don't just get hungry. I bypass hungry straight to hangry. And my kids and my wife, it's God's gift to me, I guess, let me know that all the time. But here are the Israelites, and they are wondering whether God would provide for them. Now, think about this. I know you can't say this of your life or me of my life. I'm being sarcastic. God just delivered the Israelites and split the Red Sea. They walked through a miracle. All of a sudden, now we wake up the next day. We're in the wilderness. I'm hungry. God, are you going to provide? Like, you going to do something? Where's my genie? Let me rub my bottle. Sometimes we treat Jesus like our modern day genie. Okay, that's a different scripture. But what did God do? God sent manna from heaven for the Israelites. Every morning when they woke up, God's provision was waiting for them. But there was a condition. You remember the condition? They could only gather enough for that day, and they had to get it in the morning. Because if they didn't get it in the morning, the sun, would scorch it and dry it up. But why would God do that? Because God is feeding more than their bodies. He's shaping their hearts. God does more than feed our bodies naturally. He's trying to shape our hearts. God wanted his people to learn a lesson back then that he's still wanting you and I to learn today. You must depend on me daily. Every morning, the Israelites had a choice. Would they trust God again today? That was the same question for 40 years that they were met with. Am I trusting God today for the manna? Not yesterday's manna, not yesterday's miracle, not last week's testimony, but a fresh trust, a fresh dependence. Now, I don't know about you. Sometimes I want a little monthly faith. God, I've had enough trials. Like, we should be good for a month. Or with what we walked through a little bit last year, a yearly faith. God, I think I'm good for the calendar 2026. Like, we need nothing else. I know I need you. Like, we're good, right? No more. We're good. But that's not the way God operates, unfortunately. We want God to show us the entire plan. Anybody else want to see the entire plan? It'd be nice, we think. The reality is, if God showed us the entire plan, we wouldn't need God. And he's pretty secure in who he is, and he knows who we are, okay? But our faith is developed one day of obedience at a time. That's how your faith is built. It's not built all at once. It's one act of obedience at a time, one step out of a time, because dependence builds relationship. And God has always been after a relationship. So he'll keep you dependent. That's his ultimate goal, is relationship. So dependence creates relationship, and relationship is what God is after. Point number two. You and I cannot live on yesterday's manna. I think one of the greatest dangers in the Christian life is trying to survive on old encounters with God. Amen. Listen to this, please. Yesterday's prayer will not sustain today's battles. Yesterday's worship would not sustain today's temptation. Yesterday's devotion would not sustain you today for your decisions you've got to make. That's old. God is asking for fresh faith, fresh dependence. To our seniors, congratulations for graduating high school. But guess what? Your mom and dad's faith is not your faith. And you're coming into a place come August. That's about the time frame, right? Everybody's normal of a school year. You got the summer off, but come August, something's going to wake up. And it's going to be, you know, your decision. Are you going to gather manna for yourself? Spouses, some of you maybe are leaning more on your spouse's walk with God. That's not going to replace your walk. Some of you expect your pastor's walk to replace your walk. Now, I thank God for pastors. I am a pastor. I thank God for preaching. That's what I'm attempting to do for you right now. Okay? I thank God for the church, but I need you to listen to me, please. It is not the pastor's responsibility to feed me all week long. So when you come to church and say, I'm not getting fed here, my response is, no person is supposed to eat one time a week. You eat natural food more than one time a week. Why are you expecting a pastor to carry a burden that's not designed by God for them to carry? Okay? Just meddling a little bit. It is my responsibility Nicholas Jones's responsibility to gather manna for Nicholas Jones and only Nicholas Jones. I cannot gather it for you. Jesus or God did not let Moses gather all of the manna for the Israelites. Each family had to gather their own manna every single day. And you and I as believers, we must do the same exact thing. Now, Sunday sermons, are important. Don't misunderstand what I'm not saying. I'm not saying you don't have to come to church. The Bible actually does say quite a bit about the community of God coming together quite often. But if the good Lord allows my eyes to wake up, open up tomorrow morning, Monday morning, I'm going to need the Word of God Monday morning. If God lets me wake up Tuesday morning, I'm going to need the Word of God Tuesday morning. If I wake up Wednesday morning, I'm going to need the Word of God Wednesday morning. You get the point, yes? Yeah. Same for Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Just making sure you got the point. There were a group of researchers working with the Center for Bible Engagement. Maybe you've heard of this research, but I'm going to give you some insight of this. They studied more than 100,000 people over a series of probably close to 10 years, and they found something fascinating. What these researchers, expected to find is that spiritual growth would increase gradually as people spent more time in the Bible. But that's not what they found. The researchers found that reading the Bible once a week showed little measurable difference in a person's life. Twice a week showed little measurable difference. Three times a week showed very little measurable difference. But the researchers found four or more times a week, something dramatic happened in the individual's life. This is what they found. When people engage with the holy, living Word of God four or more times a week, loneliness dropped by 30%. Bitterness dropped by 40%. Difficulty forgiving others dropped by 30%. Pornography use dropped by 60%. Excessive drinking dropped by 60%. And my favorite stat that the researchers found, sharing their faith increased by more than 200%. Not because anybody told them anything, but because they engaged with the living Word of God themselves for at least four or more times a week consistently. Now, the researchers were surprised, but you and I as believers this morning should not be surprised, because they found what God already knew, is that when people spend time with God consistently, your life changes. So if you're this morning, you're dealing with bitterness, my question always is, are you reading your word? Are you dealing with loneliness? Show me, are you reading your word? Now, I'm all about getting help, but the first help is I can't feed you yourself. Are you tracking with me this morning? Okay. God never intended his people to live on weekly manna. That's why he gave them daily bread. Are you getting your daily bread? Or are you gotten used to one time a week? The manna was daily. The dependence was daily. The relationship was daily. And Jesus still to this day says, seek me first. Point number three. God's ways are higher than our ways. Every morning, an Israelite walked outside and gathered manna. Every single morning. I mean, you've seen the movie Groundhog Day. It is Groundhog Day over and over and over. What are we having for breakfast this morning? Let me guess. Manna. Right? Okay, it's manna. But every morning, God provided exactly what they needed. And every evening, they had the thought, am I going to trust God tomorrow morning? When it came to Sunday evening this afternoon, The Israelites will think, okay, am I going to trust God tomorrow morning? It's going to be a new day. Am I going to trust him again today? Now, at some point, you know there's a good old boy Israelite. I can talk like that because I'm born and raised in North Carolina, okay? East of I-95, where I'm from, we got some real good old boys. I'm probably one of those, redeemed by Jesus just a little bit, okay? At some point, good old Israelite goes, what if I just keep a little extra? Like, isn't that reasonable? I think it's a little responsible. I'm just trying to plan ahead, Jesus. Like, I'm just trying to help you out so there's everybody else to feed. I'm just going to save you from one, right? But Jesus wasn't teaching them financial responsibility. That's what Jesus, God was not trying to work on that one. God was teaching them faith. The Israelites thought the issue was food. God said the issue is trust. Now, I don't know about trials when you go through in your life, but I know when I go through them in my life, I think the issue is the issue. And the God says, that's not the issue. I got the issue there because I really want to know, Nick, will you trust me? I'm like, but I trusted you last time. Isn't that enough? Can we not have to have the issue? Then I'll trust you easier, right? That's what we deal with in our life. And God goes, no, that's not the issue, Israelites. Food's not the issue. The issue is trust. I'm after your trust. But here's another detail that's really struck me. Out of Exodus 16, I misspoke. Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it be kept throughout your generations, so that they may see the bread which I feed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And Moses tells Aaron, take a jar, put an omer of manna in it, and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations. Now think about this. When the Israelites tried to preserve manna because they were afraid about tomorrow, it spoiled. It got worms, and it stank. That's what the Bible says. The very thing that they were trusting in instead of God became worthless. The very things that you and I trust in outside of God becomes worthless. So be careful what we put our trust in. However, later, God tells Moses to take the same manna and to put it in a jar. And it'll be a testimony for generations to come. Why is that? Because the manna preserved in obedience is a testimony. The manna you try to preserve out of fear is worthless. It's the same manna. One spoils, one endures. There was nothing different in the manna. One was what God told him to keep. The other one is what you and I try to keep. But when we surrender our life to God every single day, our life becomes a modern day manna testimony for the generations to come. But I'm afraid that you and I, me probably more than you, going back to my modern day chipmunk analogy, I'm doing the same thing today. I'm stockpiling worry. Any of you stockpiling worry? Anxiety, fear, all the what ifs of life. We're carrying tomorrow's burden today. I haven't even got to tomorrow yet, and I'm already exhausted about it. But those things rot our peace. Just as a manna rotted, when you try to save it. Worry, anxiety, fear for tomorrow. Isaiah says this in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. We want certainty. God wants trust. We want explanations. God gives promises. We want the whole roadmap. God goes, I'll give you the next step. And church, because his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, we can trust him this morning. We really can. Last point. Seeking God first brings peace. Seeking God first brings peace. Spent most of our time in Exodus 16. Now we're turning to the New Testament, Matthew 6, verses 31 through 33. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. And I love this part of this verse. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. God in heaven knows what you need. He knows what I need. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Notice that Jesus is talking about the exact things that Israel was worried about in the wilderness. Food, provision, tomorrow. It's the exact thing that gets most of our attention daily. But Jesus' response was seek first the kingdom. He did not say, seek money first, then peace will come. He did not say, seek success first, and then joy would come. He did not say, seek your comfort first, then contentment will come. Instead, he said, seek first the kingdom. Why again? Because when God becomes first, everything else begins to find its proper place. I don't know how it all works. I just know biblically throughout my life, that has been the ultimate truth. Yes. When God is first, your priorities and my priorities get a lot clearer. Fear begins to lose its power over our life. Trust gets a little bit stronger. And guess what? Peace begins to increase in our life. The Israelites did not need to worry about tomorrow's manna. You know why? Because tomorrow's manna would arrive tomorrow. GCF, tomorrow's grace will arrive tomorrow. Tomorrow's strength will arrive tomorrow. Tomorrow's provision will arrive tomorrow. And some of us are exhausted, as I mentioned earlier, because we're carrying tomorrow before it even gets here. We're fighting battles that haven't even happened yet. We're worrying about conversations that we know need to happen, but still haven't happened. And we're already stressed about it today. We're carrying burdens that God has never asked us to carry. And Jesus actually has something to say about this. Last scripture, Matthew 6, 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Church, God's grace for tomorrow will show up for us tomorrow. Our assignment today is simple, but not necessarily easy. Seek him today. Trust him today. Follow him today. Depend on him today. Every morning in the wilderness, Israel faced the same question. Will I trust God today for today's manna? Every morning when you and I wake up, we are all given the same question, whether you know it or not. What will I seek first? We know what his word says. Seek first his kingdom. He didn't say self-preservation first. He said first him. Church, God's goal for Israel was not just to get them out of the wilderness. God's goal for Israel was to get them to the promised land. God's goal for your life and my life is not to just to get us through another calendar week. God actually wants to use your life to disciple other people. God actually wants you to take the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost and broken world. But that can't happen if we lived on yesterday's manna. It can't happen if we were trying to live on somebody else's faith. It has to be ours. We can't just occasionally seek the kingdom. We don't just run to the king when we're in trouble. It's not a relationship. It's a genie. Your marriage wouldn't last that way. God wants daily dependence. So tomorrow morning, this is where I'm preaching to myself. Before you check your phone, before you turn on the news,
Would you gather your manna? Would you open the word? Before life begins to stockpile and God scorches, or the worries scorch out the word. I'm asked all the time by college students, "Well, Nick, how long do I have to read the word?" And here's been my go-to response. Read the word until it reads you back. If it's 5 minutes, great. If it's 50 minutes, I don't really care. But read it long enough that God is doing something. For some of you, your one verse a day on your Bible app is not enough. But man, gather your manna. Don't point fingers at somebody else. When it's God given me, son, will you seek me? I've given it all. Time after time again, we sing about it. But when tomorrow morning wakes up, what I seek first will reveal what I trust the most. Because where there's daily bread, there's daily dependence. And where there's daily dependence, God can use ordinary people like me and you to advance his kingdom. Amen? Would you pray with me? Blake, you can join me. Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you that your word is living and active. Lord, I need your word afresh in my life. Lord, I'm asking for each man and woman in this room. Lord, may we not live on yesterday's manna. God, would you put a hunger and a thirst inside of us? That, Lord, as we open your Bible, that, Lord, it would be the text would jump off the pages. That, God, we would be able to see things we've never seen before. Father, I thank you that as we spend time with you, things begin to fall off. Lord, for those that are dealing with loneliness today. Father, those that are hurt or bitter. Father, those that have habitual sin patterns that are easily entangling them. Lord, I pray as they put their gaze upon you, Lord, other things begin to fall off. Lord, I pray for this house. That God, every person in this room that calls GCF their home, Lord, would they become a man and a woman who would daily gather their manna. Lord, that if they would take that serious, Lord, their best days are ahead as a church. Because God, you're wanting to do something more than just for them. You're wanting to see Pitt County reach with the good news of the gospel. You're wanting to see North Carolina reach with the good news. You're wanting to see North America reach. You're wanting to see the nations of the world bow their knee to you. And God, it all starts as a believer every morning by being faithful to be dependent, to grab my daily bread and allow my eyes to be focused on you and nothing else. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Yeah, let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate you, brother. Wasn't that good? It's interesting because Nick doesn't know this, but we are having a summer Bible reading challenge. We're going to launch it next Sunday. We're going to read through all of the Gospels and Acts starting on June 15th as a church family. From June 15th to the middle of August. Basically, you read two chapters a day, every day. From June 15th, we'll be done with all the Gospels and Acts by mid-August, by the end of the summer. So we're going to launch that next Sunday. We're going to have some interactions online as well. But just want to invite you, go ahead and prepare your mind. What am I going to read? Well, we're going to read the Gospels and Acts, June 15th on. We're going to read it as a church family. It's going to be exciting to do that. Isn't that cool? Isn't that how God lined that up? So we're going to do that together. If you're new here, don't forget to fill out your connection card and turn it into our connection desk out in the back. Not in the back, in the lobby. And then our foundations class is starting this Tuesday night. If you're looking to shore up your foundations or just dig deeper in your walk with the Lord, we'd love to have you. That's Tuesday night from 6:30 to 8. We'll start this Tuesday night. We have worship in the Word on Wednesday night, and then we've got Build to Lead on June 13th for all of our men. Breakfast, child care, and a guest speaker, Ben Tugwell, is going to bring the Word to us. He is a Townsend accredited leadership coach, and he's going to really pour into our men that week, and I want to invite you to be out there with us. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need prayer this morning, we have some of our altar workers that would love to stand with you and pray for you and minister to you this morning. We will see you next Sunday. You guys have an amazing week.